Thank you, Chris. Sorry about that. Thank you, Danny. Actually, that's the second mistake I've made today. My grandson is 15, not 14. And I know I'll get corrected when I get home. So, and this is still an interesting passage from Matthew. We've often heard a passage about no one comes to the Father but through me, but this is a little bit different. We are told that no one knows the Son but the Father, and no one knows the Son or the Father but the Son. And then it goes on to say an interesting thing. It says there's a but here. No one knows the Father but the Son except. And picking it up now at the 28th verse. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. It says, all things have been commissioned to me by the Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son. And then those who are known to be revealed to him. Revealed to him. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my voice is easy and my burden is light. The word of the Lord.
You mean I'm on again? I'm glad he has such a good sense of humor. Oh, amen. Now, I have one question that I want to ask you, and I'm glad I'm behind the pulpit. I want to know how much time you usually give your pastor before you start throwing hymnals. Okay? Because what I'm going to say is going to be important. If I go a couple of minutes over, is that okay? Okay. If you do throw change, okay, I promise that all of it will go on the offering plate. Okay? All right. Well, I'll tell you, it is an amazing thing what the Lord has put into His Scriptures. It really is. You know, that He has given us everything that we need in order to live successfully. True? He has. Do we always want to listen to it? Probably not. Sometimes we have an agenda in our life, and sometimes we kind of look at things in a different way than maybe they were meant in the Scripture because we wanted to fit into our framework, right? But He has given us two Scriptures that I believe are very important. But before I actually get into the message, I want to share something with you that maybe you didn't realize. Is that, did you know that there is an American sport, very, very popular sport that was mentioned in the Bible? Are you aware of that? Yep. And that is, the sport is baseball. Okay. And really, it's referred to. It doesn't say it outright. But there is a verse in Genesis 1:1 that says, in the big inning. And I'm sure that's exactly what he meant. Right? In the big inning. Amen. Dry joke, right? God so loved the world. That's what the title of this sermon is about. And He does love us. But we want to look at a couple of things that lead up to that. And I'm going to read my notes because I don't want to miss out on anything, and I want to make sure that I get you out there for lunch today. And do we have a popular restaurant that you guys go to here? You want to get there before the other church is let out? That's why everybody lets out exactly at noon. All right. You know, we all share our faith, hopefully, at some point. We all will take the time if the Lord brings the opportunity up for us to share our faith. And when we share our faith, we might say something about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because the gospel is just message. The word really means just message. And we might quote different scriptures that help us understand, help them understand what is meant when we talk about Jesus dying on the cross. And and what being saved means to us. And this morning I'd like to share two verses, and I'm going to do that in just a moment or so, that I believe are at the very core of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Before we go any further, though, I would like to just take a moment and pray and just ask the Lord to bless me with His words and with His thoughts, and have the Holy Spirit tell me what I'm supposed to say. So if you would please just bow and pray with me and ask the Lord to bless me and to fill me with His Spirit. Dear Father, I come to You now and I just lift myself up to You. And I place myself at the foot of Your throne. And Father, with all my heart, I ask that You will give me the words that I need to have today. That maybe there is someone here who has been a little discouraged. Maybe somebody who has gone through something that is difficult, or maybe their life has just been blessed. But I pray, Lord, that whatever I say will just will be given, and people will understand what it is that You are trying to say for this fellowship today. So we thank You for this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Can I hear that again? Amen. Amen. We want to get excited, right? There's too much depression in this world today. Satan is trying to use the media, trying to use circumstances to get us down and to make us feel depressed. Don't you believe that? Amen. But do we have to be? No, because we have the joy. I've got the, this joy, 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 joy down in my heart. That is very important. I mean, we've all gotten depressed. But when we think about what God has done for us and what He's going to do for us, we should be ecstatic. And that's the message that the world needs to hear today, correct? Amen. Okay. As I was saying earlier, that more than likely we are probably familiar with these verses that I'm going to read later, and we probably have shared them with others maybe a few times. And I'd like to look at the two simple verses and share my thoughts today. Now, our world is made up of many beautiful things, right? Especially in this area. At least we think so. We have beautiful lakes and rivers. The air we breathe is clean. Then we have abundant wildlife. We have forests that we can walk through, and we have fields full of flowers, and they can just give us a sense of peace. Amen? Amen. So we're blessed to be here. You know, there's so much good in our world, and yet the Scripture talks about this and tells us that God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. That's really interesting. We have so many good things and so many beautiful things, yet God gave His only Son. Now, what would compel a father to send his son to this earth? And for what reason would he send him? You know, I think that's something that we seriously need to consider when we talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, when the universe was created, God said it was good, correct? God created the world and all that was in it, and it was good. On the sixth day, God created man, and that was good as well. All that God created was good, but it was corrupted when one man and one woman listened to another voice. And they sinned against their Creator. The one thing that God Himself breathed the breath of life into rebelled against His authority and chose to live according to another set of rules. As time passed by, humanity became cruel and oppressive, and there came a time when God said, "It's enough." And yet the Scriptures tell us God so what? Loved the world. These are the two Scriptures, and I know you know them. John 3:16-17. It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him." Okay, so answer me this question. Why would God love a world where people lived in such depravity and acted in such evil ways? You know, it's no different today. The youngest of us is thought of as disposable. Human beings, men, women, and children, are sold like livestock by those who profit through human trafficking. Why would God love a world that doesn't acknowledge His Lordship and uses His name as a curse word, a world that demeans everything that God stands for and promotes. Why would he love a world like that? A world that defies God to his face and tells him, I can do whatever I please and there isn't a thing that you can do about it. Why would God love this kind of world? Now, it's not uncommon for us to hear that someone somewhere has been assaulted or robbed. We hear on the news that so-and-so has been arrested for using or selling drugs. We hear that nations are fighting against other nations and that people are being oppressed and killed for their faith. Why would God love a world like that? Send his son for a world like that. Now, here's just a couple of statistics. It is estimated that 40.3 million victims are affected by human trafficking. 40.3 million. Drug addiction has reached epidemic levels across our world, and approximately, it says, 247 million drug users are using drugs worldwide. In 2017, there were an estimated 1,247,321 violent crimes. And that's not talking about things like burglary, larceny, motor vehicles that are stolen. I mean, why would God love a world like this and send his son? Does it make sense to you? I certainly would not have a child of mine be put into that situation. Well, when you look at humanity even before the flood, here's a scripture in Genesis 6:5 that says this. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Only evil continually. What does only evil continually mean? I think that Romans 1:28 through 32 gives us some insight into that. And this was during Paul's time. It wasn't during the time before the flood. It says, even as they did not like to retain, remember that word, retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, and maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the right judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only to do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Why would God love a world like that? Why were the intentions of people who lived before the flood only evil continually? And why did they choose to live in such depravity? Well, the scripture that we just read in Romans helps us to understand when people, regardless of the time in which they live, have not retained the knowledge of God, they will spiral into that depravity. If they choose not to remember what God says and who God is, they will necessarily spiral into that. And now it's reasonable to believe that in most cases that the people of the past probably are no different than we are today. You know, the scriptures that say, as it was in the days of Noah. Many of them may not even have ever believed that God existed. Or if they did, maybe not acknowledge a supreme being, that they did not believe in a supreme being, and that he was not concerned about or involved with their daily lives. They may have believed that he may be there, but you know what? It doesn't matter. He's not involved with me. I'm just one little grain of sand in all of eternity, and I'm not very much, and I'm not big enough for him to worry about. They have forgotten that God has ordered creation according to his standards, not according to theirs. When people choose to ignore what God feels is important, they inevitably go down that path that degenerates into physical and spiritual chaos. They objectify things, like a person is no different than a chair. They're just there to be used. Doesn't matter if they hurt others or even themselves. It just is important that they feel satisfaction. Now, there's going to come a time when people will be judged. You know, we have the scripture that it said that Jesus did not come to judge us. Yeah. There will come a time when people will be judged. Let me just read a couple of scriptures for you. The first one is in Matthew 13, 41 and 42. You know, in our churches, it just seems lately that we don't talk about this very much because it's uncomfortable. Matthew 13, 41 through 42 says this: "The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and will cast them into the furnace of fire, and there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth." Here's another verse, Matthew 22, 13 through 14. "Then said the king to his servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. And there should be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen." See, there is another aspect of reality, and that's hell. You know, that's a place. I don't think it was meant for people. I think it was meant for Satan and his angels. But you know what? If we ally ourselves with Satan, then that's our fate. Why is sharing the gospel so important? There is an eternity. Either you're with God or you're separated from Him. For God so loved the world that He sent His only Son. I want you to think about that. So really, what is the answer to the question? Why would God love this kind of world? Well, I believe the answer is this: that God has so much love that He created you and me. He had so much love, and it had to go someplace. So He created us so that He would have somebody to share it with. He created us so that He would have somebody to take care of and who would love Him back. You know, there's eternal consequences, both positive and negative. Why would He love a world like ours? I think He says this, and I think that when we get to heaven, this isn't a scripture, this is just my opinion. I think that when we finally get to heaven, He's going to say, "Come and see. I have been waiting for you, and I am so excited to share with you and for you to see what I've made for you. Come on!" And He'll put His arm around us and He'll show us all the stuff that He's made just for us. I know for me, He's got a lake out there stocked with walleye. And the thing is, I'm not even going to need a boat, because I can walk right on water. I just have to take my pole out with me. You know, the thing is, He has created so many wonderful things. He loved us so much. He needed to share that love, and He created us. And He sent His Son down to a world that hated Him and that would abuse Him and kill Him so that we could be made right with God. It says, "Let not your heart," in John 14, 1 through 3, "let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." He wants you to be with Him, and He wants you to love Him. And if you have not given your heart to Him, if you're just playing games, can I be honest with you? I can be honest if I'm not going to be here after this, right? You can get mad at me. It's okay. The thing is, if your heart is not where it needs to be with God, I'm going to tell you right now, if you haven't asked Jesus in your heart and you haven't accepted His Lordship and you don't trust Him, then you're not going to heaven. You can play all the games you want and you can try to justify it all you want. But you know, there are consequences. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart today, then you need to say, "Okay, I'm willing to surrender. But it's for your good. Let not your heart be troubled. You know, and it says in Revelation 21, 1 through 4, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea or no more population on earth. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." The church is the bride, correct? And Jesus is the husband. We're prepared for him. We're training for reigning. Did you realize that? We're training for reigning. There's a guy that wrote a book about that. Training for reigning. "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There should be no pain, for the former things have passed away." Amen? We're not the frozen chosen here, folks. Let's get excited about this. We have a future, and we have an eternity with God. He says we are his people, and we will be with him forevermore. We will not have any pain and sorrow. There will be no cancer. There will be no broken bones. There will be nothing that will where we have to suffer anymore. We should be excited about that, and we should be sharing that. "For God so loved the world that he sent his only Son for us." Amen. Get excited. Now, why was the Father willing to give his Son? This is an important question. And I'm going to have to hurry along before you start throwing those hymnals. Why would he give his only Son? Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, no one comes to the Father except through me. I am the resurrection," in John 11, 25 and 26. "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? This is a question we all have to answer. Do you believe that Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection was good enough? He says, "I am the way." You know, it's not through Buddha. It's not through Krishna. It's not through any other system or any other person that we are right before God. It is through Jesus Christ. And nobody can say any different. God places such a value on relationship that this is what he did. When Jesus died, and you know about the veil of the temple that separated man from the Holy of Holies, when Jesus died, that veil that two teams of three horses could not rip apart, that veil was separated. And what God is saying is, you can come to me now personally. You don't have to have an intermediary, because you have been forgiven. Your sins have been forgiven. You have been made right before me because of what my Son has done. Is that amazing? Does that send chills up and down your spine? It does me. The God of all creation is allowing us to come and stand before his throne. And then he loves us. You know, it says that we need to believe in him. What does that mean? That means that we buy into. It's not just saying I believe that he exists or that he is God. It means I'm buying into everything that he has said. I buy into what he said is right and what is wrong. And when you buy into that, you make changes in your life. For instance, if we knew that high cholesterol was going to kill us in a year, we probably would stop eating Whoppers, right? Or if you're walking down or going to a dark alley and you felt that your life was in danger, you probably would find another way to get to where you wanted to go, correct? See, when we truly believe, our behavior changes and our thought patterns change. And I believe myself that this is all based in faith. says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith. If you believe, your behavior is going to change. If you have faith, you're going to believe. Correct? We have faith that he'll watch over us, that he'll reward our obedience, that he will take care of us in times of difficulty. And there will come a time when people will be judged and they'll be cast into outer darkness through their choice. Okay, I'm going to get near the end of this because our time is running out. The most important thing is when we look at the scripture that God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. We don't have to worry about that. He didn't come to condemn. We condemn ourselves, right? Yep. We condemn ourselves. Jesus had a woman that was brought to him. She was caught in adultery. Now, with that scripture, I never could understand why they never brought the man. Because it takes two, right? Caught in adultery. But he said to her, after he had said that he who is without sin cast the first stone, he said, and everybody left, started with the oldest and then the youngest. He said, where are those that are accusing you? And she said, you know, they're not here. He says, well, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. See, there had to be a change. She had to believe that Jesus, whatever he was saying, was true. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For he didn't send his Son to condemn the world, that the world through him might be saved. We're going to close with these thoughts. If we have faith in God and we truly believe him and our behaviors change because we believe him, when he talks about how he will reward us, when he talks about how we have an eternity where we will be separated from him, if we have truly bought into all of that, not just at our convenience, but the truth of it all, this is what will be said in Matthew 25-34. It says, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. Matthew 11:28-30 says this, come unto me, all ye that labor. We have that up on the scriptures, and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden light. Do you believe that? If you do, it's going to change your behaviors. You know? Jesus is the light that pushes back the darkness. And how dark are we? You need to think about this. Do you sin? That's hard to admit as a Christian, right? But we do. But he says he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He was talking to the church when he had that scripture. He wasn't talking to sinners. I mean, that are non-believers. You see, Jesus said, pull it together, folks. Can I say it like that? Pull it together. Take seriously the things that I've said in the scriptures. The things that I shared, and get your life right. Do not be doing things maybe that you have been doing. Do not be seeing things maybe that you have been seeing. Change your behavior. You know, I do, my wife and I do a Bible study twice a month over at the jail. And I was telling the girls the last time I was there, says, you know, you are princesses. You are. And they say, oh, that's so nice. Because nobody's ever told them that they're worth much. But all of us here, we're princes
and princesses, and one day we're going to be kings and queens because it says we're going to rule with him. Don't you think it's about time that we started acting like it? Instead of, you know, as Christians for so long, I believe the church has gotten to be really lazy. We're not standing up for the things that are that God wants us to stand up for. He wants us to stand up for things that are right, things that help people, things that make people better tomorrow than they are today. But we get so busy. We're going to stand before God at some point. And there may be two things that he is going to say. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. For that. That's one thing. The second thing he may say is, you have so much potential. So much potential. But what did you do with it? It's like the servant that hid the talents. Did nothing with it. Didn't even put it in the bank so he could get some interest. What are you going to do with what God has given to you? Doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter if you're retired. I'm retired. Kind of semi-retired. The thing is, God wants you to, as long as you're living and long as you're breathing, he wants you to work for him because he came down and worked for us. And don't condemn. That's not up to us to condemn. Even if we don't agree with somebody, we're there to love them. It's so easy to be critical and condemn, right? And sometimes it makes you feel good because you say, yeah, they're going to get what they deserve. That's not why Jesus came. We all deserve death. He came to love us, take care of us, and to change our lives. I want to read that scripture one more time, two scriptures. And you can say it with me if you'd like to. For God so loved the world that he came to... I brain freeze there, folks. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, that the world might be saved through him. Think about that. When you're sharing, that's what the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about. Sharing and saving and loving. Would you please stand? And we'll have a word of prayer. I'm not sure, is there something else we need to do before we pray? Okay, one more song. So we'll sing that song and then we'll pray, right? Okay, that sounds good to me. There.